All right, quickly declare the word of the Lord. Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm always increasing the knowledge of God. Say like you believe it, I'm always increasing the knowledge of God. I want to declare this one loud. Say, as the word of God is coming forth now, my own portion is coming. It is delivering to me my own inheritance amongst those who are sanctified in the name of Jesus Christ. Declare this loud. Say, I have understanding. I have wisdom because the Spirit of Christ is inside me in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you know you are going to be blessed, give me an amen.
Amen.
You know, last Saturday, that was one day that I felt like continuing preaching. What I mean is that the fact that I needed to wait another 7 days for me was a problem. But so let me continue again. Please, if you have personal things you want the Lord to minister to you about, can you just keep it aside in your heart? I know what I'm saying. Just put it aside temporarily. All right? Don't pull on me. Because when you start now, I won't be able to say what I want to say. Towards the end, you can now start asking God, talk to me. Do you understand my point? That's a specific issue. Let's just learn. All right? Let's just learn. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Yes. Let's just learn. All right? The Lord is good. Okay. Let's go back to what we have been reading. So we're going to continue from where we stopped last time. All right? We're going to continue from that point where we stopped last time. So let's go again. This time around, I'll be a bit quicker because we have read that portion of the Bible many times. The book of Haggai, we are going to start from there again. The book of Haggai, chapter 1. We've read this many times in the course of these teachings. Say, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, saying, thus says the Lord, these people says the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house lies desolate? Now therefore consider your ways. You have sown much, but you harvest little. You eat, but you are not satisfied. You drink, there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but you are not warm enough. Even those who earn, they earn wages into pockets that have holes, or purses that have holes. The Lord now said in verse 8, go up to the mountain, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified. He said, the problem you have experienced in verse 9 is looking for much, and it's coming to little. And that little, when it comes, I blow it away. What is the reason? Your focus is wrong. The things that you are pursuing, they are wrong. He said, because of my house, which lies desolate, while each one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on new wine, on the oil, and what the ground produces. Now, for time's sake, I just jump to chapter 2 now. God says something here. Let me just jump to the verse I would like. Verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. He says, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord. Said, the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former. And in this house, I will give peace, declares the Lord. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, you remember, we have read this many times. Last time we were reading, I want to just quickly read that one again. These are the two portions we started last time with, and I want to just quickly read them again. Now, let's just read, or just listen to me read from 1 Kings chapter 19, when Elijah went to Horeb. So the Lord said to him, that's in verse 11, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. That was a very terrible wind, like a tornado, because it was breaking rocks in pieces. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, a man of experience, a man of understanding, a man who had worked with God for some time and who understood how God used to speak, when he heard it, he bowed, the Bible says he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? The Lord said to him, go and return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael, king of Aram, and Jehu, the king over Israel, and Elisha, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. The Lord is good. Like they say, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Is that the proper response? Is it amen? Tell your neighbor he has a word for you. Tell somebody else, your word is coming. It's coming to correct you. It's coming to reprove you. It's coming to train you in righteousness. All right, that's what the Bible says. All right, the Lord is good. We have been looking at this issue of the advance of the kingdom. I keep on saying this, and I ought to say it one more time. It's not the last time. If you come next time, I may say it again. Whatever God wants to do on the earth requires you, requires me. When we say God uses people, we don't mean that God likes to use people. There's a difference between you like to do something and you can't do without doing something. God doesn't just like to use people. It's not a matter of like. That is the design. If people will not do what they are supposed to do, what he wants to do will not get done. That's a general principle. I like the direct application to our personal lives. There is something that will not get done if I don't do what I'm supposed to be doing. Everybody say that after me. Say, there is something. Say it again.
There is something.
That will not get done if I don't do what I am supposed to do. If I don't do what I am supposed to be doing. There are two things there. There's something I've done, but there's something I'm supposed to be doing. Because I'm the preacher. You're not the preacher. Amen? So I know myself very well. I will use myself as examples. You understand? As an example. You know, sometimes I hear testimonies. Now, I want you to listen to this from two sides. Just amplify this statement that there are things that will not get done if you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, and if I don't do what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, there are two sides to what I want to say. Sometimes I hear testimonies. One of our brothers called me the other day. He sent me a message. It was a commendation, you know, an encouragement, all right? He said that, do I realize that many more people know me, that's Banky, than I realize? I said, He said there are many places he will get to. He'll just mention my name, and the person will just bring out my book. Do you understand my point? That they'll just, you know this guy? I know him very well. What are you talking about? You know, the fellow has changed my life. You know, you hear testimonies like that, all right? And I now made a statement. He said, I want you to know that you are a voice amongst the remnant. Now, to me, I replied him, I said, that remnant thing, I said, God bless you. I said, that's very encouraging. Because I know what I say is not popular amongst many preachers. You know, as a matter of fact. People have quarreled with me not once, not twice, many times over certain statements I make, especially in the area of money. I've had very few non-preachers quarrel with me over money matters. I've had very few. Most of the anger I get is from preachers who find it very hard to accept some of these principles, which are based upon the word of God, you know, based upon the scriptures. Now, this is, you know, I said there are two sides to it. That encourages me. It encouraged me when I heard that. Now, if you think it's going to make me feel happy and settled, that's the second side of it I said you should pay attention to. No. It doesn't make me feel so excited and settled. Settled, definitely, it doesn't. Because it dawned on me that I could have refused to do this. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I could have decided that, look, if you go into ministry now, they say you are looking for money. And there's a problem with good people, in quotes. Now, I'm not claiming that I'm good, but people who try to do what is right. They often have a problem in, I don't want to go to ministry to look for money. I don't want it to appear as if I'm looking for money. They end up not doing it. Because they don't want to do what everybody else is doing, they end up doing nothing at all. Do you understand what I'm trying to say there? It's a problem. One of my friends is a minister I refer to a lot of times. Once we're talking about money matters, and in his church, they were having some issues. And that day I went to go and preach. I told him, look, I'm going to talk on financial issues. I said, you know the problem? We pastors have this problem. We tend to swing to one extreme or the other. Balancing is often the problem. Because we don't like, some of us don't like to appear as if we are looking for money. So we end up not talking about money at all. So the church of God is now, of course, there are some people who talk about money. They are on one side. There's some people now don't talk about it at all. Unfortunately, you are also on the wrong side. What God wants is balance. Are you getting my point? There's a minister I know, I won't mention the name now. It's not somebody, not in recent times. Died like almost 100 years now. I think maybe around the 1930, thereabout. Okay, so it's been a long time. But I read his materials. The way he suffered in the mission field, I felt it was unnecessary. If you're in a mission field, you don't have to have a car. Those days, I'm talking about 100 years ago, which many cars did at that time. All right? You don't have to have all those fine things, but at least you shouldn't go hungry. You are not doing ministry in the wilderness. You are ministering to people that farm. You are ministering to people that have cattle. You are ministering to people that have milk. Do you get my point? Yeah, but because when I analyzed it, I said this is one area where this, my brother, did not balance these things. He was a powerful minister. Yet I said, in this area, sir, you needed to balance this doctrine. There was a time flow of money from his home country stopped. And I said, why did God allow that to stop? It was simply because this man needed to teach a truth that he was not teaching. And recently I was listening to the pattern of missions being taught by David Paulson. And I said, good, this is exactly what we have been saying. And the man showed us from the scriptures what missionaries should be doing. I'm not talking about that in details now. So I'm trying to say that sometimes, you see, we preachers, we have this reason. I've heard some of the most anointed and persuasive teachers I ever heard. When they are going to talk about ministry, he said, wait, let me settle my business first. When the money starts flowing, are you getting my point? I can now start ministry. Why? I don't want anybody to think that I am coming there to look for money. Now, these are the reasons why good people, in quote, good in quotes now, as far as it's concerned, disobedience is what? Disobedience. You don't want to be look like a thief, so you don't obey me. You have disobeyed me. Your excuse is your personal problem. That's why I kept on qualifying this matter of good. One of the things you know in life is that sometimes God deliberately rubs shame on your face so that you can do ministry effectively. Did you hear what I said? He will rub, you know what they call shame? He will say, this fine girl, always well-dressed, my assignment for your life is you will go to Gbete Market and start preaching. When you have done it for 6 months, God said, I don't want you to be a preacher. You say, what was I now doing inside of Gbete Market? You are too fine. I needed you to get used to, you know, that kind of thing. Now, like I was saying, so God does that. I was just trying to explain something about being a believer in Christ Jesus. There's a book I recommend all the time, The Happiest People on Earth, The Story of Demos Shakarian. You see, the Lord did that thing to him. What I've told you, it literally happened to the man inside that book. He placed him in a place where embarrassment was his portion. He was a good, you know, businessman. God, the Holy Spirit led him to be preaching in the open. And the first day he started, somebody said, is that not Demos? The idea is that this may ruin his reputation. But God said, fine. But after a while, of course, God now placed him in the proper place that he belonged. I'm just going to emphasize something, that we have to be careful that in trying to look good, all right, we don't end up disobeying the assignment of God. I know where I went into that. Well, we keep on learning little things here and there. So I was not saying that it is possible I could have refused to do this. Do you follow my point? And then this is the unconscious thing we a lot of us realize and think. This is one thing that's deep inside our hearts. we just assume that God will use somebody else. If I don't go, somebody else will go. And that's what I've been trying to emphasize. It is not true. Not because God would not want to use somebody else, but somebody else is hard to find. I don't know what I heard what I said. Somebody else is hard to find. You may think that there are so many people. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. The place where you were born, the experiences of your childhood, the way you grew up, do you understand? Your genetic makeup, the country you were born in, all those things are put together for God to use to take you to where you are supposed to be. And so when you refuse to go, he has to do it again. I keep on saying there are times God looks for people. He doesn't find. And we find the scriptures. Twice he said it. And when he said to Isaiah, when Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me," God wasn't joking. This is how he shouts all the time. Who shall we send? Who shall go for us? Listen, it is not everybody that could have said that. Everybody has a kind of assignment they can do. Many times he shouted like this and shouted and shouted, and there was nobody. When God appointed Saul king in Israel, question again, was he a good king or a bad king? Answer me, please. Was Saul a good king overall or a bad one? You don't know. Okay, now see the confusion. Some say Saul was a good king or a bad king. Okay, I'll give you my verdict. He was a very horrible one. First instruction from God, he disobeyed. How bad can it get? They brought correction, he refused. He only got from that point and became worse. The best of Saul was the day he was appointed. Immediately after that, he started going down. And God knew he was going to be like that. You know what I'm trying to emphasize? He was the best in Israel at that time. That bad king was the best in Israel at that time. If you think it is easy to get a president for Nigeria, forget it. If the current president cannot even find ministers. Let me just really warn Christians. Let's get practical now. Let's get Let's address today's issues. Please warn yourself against criticizing every appointment because it's not from your area. Like somebody said, we don't want federal character. We want godly character. I saw that comment. I was excited. Somebody said, who's talking about federal character? He said, please, find me godly character. I'm begging you, let this man do his work. Are you getting my point? Don't join this bad wagon of criticism. Leave him first. So if you think it is easy for God to find somebody when the president cannot even find minister, please, just another one to digress again. Please be praying for him that he will be able to find, because he's actually looking. And the man has made rules that I hope and praying that he will not break. If you have any record of corruption, he doesn't want you. He wants 19 ministers that have never stolen money. And do you know it's so hard to find in Nigeria people who have never stolen money? Even churches can't recommend. Churches don't even, that is, one of our brothers, he does business in Abuja. He says some of the people that give him the hardest problems, they do business with him. They are owing him millions of naira. They won't pay him. He watches TV. Big Bishop is sitting down. They are on the left and on the right in his kingdom. So let them go to church. The bishop thinks that they give heavy tithe. Of course, they know how to do it. Papa, well done, sir. Praise God. You've been a blessing. They give him 5 million. That one said, my son, it shall be well with you. That's why Paul said, when you want to appoint deacons, they must have a good reputation outside. Because in church, we all know how to manipulate the pastor. If I come down one day and you say, Pastor Bank, you've been a blessing, dash me a brand new Range Rover. You become my son too. What are you talking about? Do you understand my point? So Paul said, listen, Timothy, Titus, when you want to appoint me deacons and bishops, go outside. David Paulson said in church, they wanted to follow that rule. They were appointing one part. If I mentioned the name of the man, the message that Okemute gave me last week, that Bishop and I, Israel and I, that one Okemute gave us. I was listening to the message. He said he went to the man's office. The man was a supervisor in their railway company. and said, "The boss, please, this man works here. Yes. We want to appoint him deacon in the church. What do you have to say about it?" He said, "Wow, you guys will be lucky to have him." He told him, "Thank you very much." I went back to church and said, I was in his office. His boss said that we are lucky if the man accepts to be a deacon in this place. He said, "That is the rule of the gospel, is the rule of the New Testament. That you go to his office and find out. You don't use his tithe booklet to find out. You don't use his kingdom offering to find out. You don't check how often he comes to church. This is how they manipulate men of God. And they are human. They will fall for it." Do you get my point? Yes, except the Holy Spirit consciously comes out to tell them something different. You will fall for it. I will fall for it. So God gave us a small check. He said, "Before you appoint him, go to where he lives. Go to his compound. Ask. Brother Chris wants to be our deacon. What do you think?" He said, "Him." "Okay, appoint him deacon, but let him pay me first." He said, "He's owing you." "Since when?" "3 years ago." "Why?" Story starts. Then the neighbor comes and says, "Who are you talking about? Come and bear me witness." Just go back to church. I said, "That one, it cannot be a deacon here." But in our churches, you know what we do? Once his offering is good and is regular, not only do we make him deacon, we make him a branch pastor. That's how come I told you I met a pastor. I went to his man's office. I said, "I'm looking for a pastor." When I heard the story later, he had a wife and children in Lagos and impregnating women in Enugu. Why? Because we don't follow a simple rule that says he must have a good reputation with people who are not Christians, who are not members of the church. We don't follow that rule. What we check is whether he's loyal to us. That's what we check. It's a loyal man. And people know. Some of the things I've heard. Why? Because you don't follow a simple rule that says before you call a man deacon, before you appoint him into a bishopric, you check whether he has a good reputation outside. That's why I said pray for the head of state. Do you get my point? Pray. This is why we have to preach the truth. Because our head of state, if it was when things were working, the head of state should have just said that, "Look, that man, does he go to church?" They say, "Yes." "Which church?" He mentioned the name. He said, "He must be a good man." But now he can't say that. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, what's the point I'm making? I'm trying to emphasize to us, okay, that let's not just assume that God will always find people. Back to my story. I was talking about myself. I just realized that I could have refused to do it. Not because I'm big enough to square up to the Lord and say, "What thing you go do?" No, that's not what I mean. All right? I'm not big enough to square up to him and dare him. I just mean that the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, you could have pursued other things. You could have said, "Let me suspend this until I have made a name for myself in certain circles in the secular world." You could have said, "Okay, the ministry will wait." When I get those testimonies, I'll be honest with you, I am humbled. Do you understand? There's a certain degree of fear, the fear of God that comes into my life. Why? Because I ask myself that, "Banky, are you sure?" That's the second side I was telling you about. I say, "Banky, are you sure that this is actually all that the Lord wants to do? Are you sure he would not have done more than this if you allowed him? Are you sure?" Instead of you sitting there and saying, "Thank God I yielded," God said, "Maybe you did not yield enough. Maybe if you yielded some more, this thing will have taken over this particular area. It will have moved to this particular country. Maybe there is a depth of revelation that I want to bring out, but you don't pay attention enough." Jesus said, "There are things I want to tell you. You can't bear them now." That tells you God's desires don't always come to pass because we are a limiting factor. That means there are words that the Lord wants to speak through us, preachers, that he can't even inspire us to say because we can't say them. And the only way we'll ever say them is if we prepare to be able to say them. And preparation takes time. So maybe morning, afternoon, and night, we are too busy running here and there with what shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? Yet when we see a little bit of glory, we are excited that he has done something great. God said, "Oh, that you will have hearkened unto me some more." then you will have seen a greater flow of unction and anointing. That is what comes to my mind. I don't listen, because I realize God does what he wants to do. My duty is to make sure I allow him do it. So I realize that I'm not just a yielded vessel. I become a hindering vessel. So it's the depth of hindrance I remove that allows God to move. No self-confidence. No. I just say, are you sure? Now, why I'm emphasizing this is this. I because the Lord has helped me to understand, it didn't cross my mind that if we don't do it, maybe somebody else will do it. No. One guy used to call me those days. Every day, those are the early days when anybody could call me, because very few people called me anyway. Do you understand my point? I don't know how he got my number. He will call. I knew David Pawson said something. I'll listen to him, that message that Okemute gave us. He said, number one way, that's what he said. I'm quoting him, and I agree with him to a large extent. In fact, I never heard anybody say it like that. Okay? He said, one major way you know your calling in life is what he calls vibration. I call it resonance. That there are ministers that vibrate you. That is, when they are preaching, your body's like, I should be doing this. So that's one major way you know your ministry. And this guy I'm telling you that used to call me, every time he calls, he used to make that statement, which I just heard David Paulson make a few days, that's about 2 days ago. He said, Pastor Banky, anytime I hear you speak, I know this is what I should be doing. He will stay on the phone and thank me and bless me. And I said, why don't you start doing it? That is why the problem now lies on. My brother was working in a bank. That was the issue. So why don't you leave the bank work now, Oga? Family responsibility. There are things that we have to do, take care of. You know, the words of Jesus are relevant all the time. He said, you cannot love father, mother, family, responsibilities more than me and still enter into that kingdom. The words of the Lord Jesus, they are so relevant. And the last time that brother and I spoke, I'm not aware he had done it. I told them, let's just give some practical tips. One of the things I tell people, I said, listen, when you get in that kind of situation, what do you do? I mean, many of you here know that I have a secular job, I do. I'm a university lecturer and hospital consultant, all right? Now, just by the way, when I was doing my training, when I was going to choose, there's a long story about my life in that area, I don't have time to go into it. But one thing I bore in mind when I had to make decisions is that, I said I had to teach. I will never take a job that will make that difficult. And even the one I do now, I know the kind of choices I had to make. I won't discuss them here. To make sure that I reduce the obstruction as much as possible. The advice I used to give people like him is that, go and get another job. Such people like you have no business working in the bank. Because the bank requires you to leave your house by 7 a.m. and get back there early at 6 p.m. You can't afford it. You can't afford it. Demo Shakarian was a businessman, all right? And when he was building his business, he went into grain speculation. Now, when the Lord corrected him, of course, he lost money heavily on it. He was used to doing good business. He said, when the Lord corrected him, the Lord said something to him. The kind of business you're asking to do requires somebody that will do it full time. Focus on it. Go and read it. It's in the book. I don't invent these things. Focus on it all the time. He said, I don't have that kind of time for you. That's what the Lord told him. Do your dairy business, your cow business is okay with me. Be rearing your cow to sell, but something that requires you to wake up in the morning, pick the newspapers, check the prices, call contractors. He said, Demos, I will not allow you to do that. He didn't stop him from doing business. Many people, you know, are into ministry completely full-time, no other thing they are doing. But this man, Novahez, all right, is also a preacher. He's one I told the story once that he said the Lord told him how he can get any disease healed. Any. That he will kill the thing with words, with the word of God. That if it's cancer, no problem. That he will kill it with the word of God. And it was one person that thought that, listen, stop thinking that these things disappear one day. And you fight them until they die into the roots with words. That's Novahez. Novahez does not take any money from his ministry. If he goes to preach, and you give him honorarium, everything goes to his ministry. Doesn't take a dime. You know why? He said it. He said part of his own operations with the Lord is that he was a businessman, earning millionaire level income before he went into ministry. And he said, the Lord never said I should sell my businesses. So he left the businesses running. And the businesses run very well. But he doesn't run the businesses. He set them up those days. He was doing businesses full time. And the Lord blessed him very well. Then one day the Lord called him to ministry. And he decided to answer the call. And answering the call was not easy for him. Don't think everything was not settled. He was not comfortable. No. The day he announced to his wife that he was going into ministry, his wife packed a bag, walked out, and never came back. So don't think that he was comfortable. His wife packed a bag, walked out, told him square, Novel, you are a very good man. You have been a wonderful husband, but I will never be a pastor's wife. She walked out and never came back. Until the last time I knew, the man never remarried. So don't even go near the thinking that, yes, he had everything settled. He said that was just his own dealing with the Lord. And when you see the way his ministry moved, you understand? You know the man did ministry. I have a few of his messages. There's a lot of books out there. That's the kind of advice I used to give somebody like that. I said, why are you working in the bank? Go and get another job. They may not pay you as well. Oh, most certainly. They will not pay you as well. But at least you will close at 2 o'clock. And never ever think your father is more important than the call of God upon your life. Don't ever think about it like that. In case you do not know, God loves him, loves your brother, loves everybody in your family more than you love them. If the call of God is clear to you, you just have to dare those consequences. A young man came to Jesus once, he said, I should follow you. Jesus said, that is right. He said, but wait, let me go and bury my father. Jesus said, forget it. So let's continue. So I'm just trying to emphasize to us why the advancement of the kingdom depends on us. When I got those compliments, I didn't feel so good with myself. I feared. That was what happened. I feared because I realized that I could have refused to do this. And I now know that it doesn't mean somebody else will do it. No, nobody else may do it. There's a unique kind of ministry that we are missing in the world today. We are missing in the church today because somebody else has refused to answer the call. Some ministries will show up 40 years late because the person that God trained, that's why I'm writing the book, it's coming out shortly, Don't Quit the Army. Because the person that God trained to manifest it, he just walked out of God in the army, just walked out. Then God said, let's start again. Then you, the body of Christ today, we are denied. There are kinds of ministries I read about. I said, the anointing could not have died. Human beings die. The anointing remains. But nobody to carry it. Many have gone to pastor churches because they have a financial base. And everybody is denied. Simply because somebody said he wants to sit down and pastor a church. There are great ministries that just fizzled. Because the man decided he has to go and settle down somewhere. Instead of moving around. I like the story of men like Kennedy Hagin. You know, I go to preach, you know, sometimes. The last place we went to Port Harcourt to go and preach, our host was so reluctant to invite us. The host pastor was telling that young man that, listen, we can't afford it. The man said, what do you mean you can't afford it? He said, don't you see him on television? Could you just assume that when you're on television, you're a big man? Just by the way, I prayed one prayer a few years ago that God, please, let me not be so difficult to host that people would think twice about inviting me. Because I don't get invited. Most of the time I travel with Yinka. Once we're going to go somewhere, it's far. They said, are we coming by road or coming by air? I said, I am not coming by road. So they can't afford flight ticket for two people. I said, don't worry. The one you can afford, you pay for it. Who will pay for the rest? It's not, I said, look, I pray. That is a prayer I pray. I have seen pastors that, I said, either the man is wicked or the people around him are stupid. It's one of the two. Either you're wicked or people around you are just ignoramuses. They don't know what life is about. Let me just tell you, if you're a preacher, so you hear this, some things that we don't know, it becomes a bad thing. Paul says something. I have learned how to abound, and I've learned how to what? Abase. As a preacher, you must learn that thing. In fact, not as a preacher, as a human being, you must learn it. What it means is that you must know how to enjoy, and you know how to endure suffering. What do I mean by know how to enjoy? There's a principle for enjoyment. As many Christians who think they are righteous, they've learned how to abase. They don't know how to abound. There's a principle for learning how to abound. Let me just say it to you so that those who don't understand, hear it because it's the truth. If you're an American, you have a lot of funds, there's nothing wrong with flying a private jet. It's a prosperous society. Now, let me get back to what I'm explaining, okay? So the Bible said that we have to learn to abound and to what? Abase. I want to say that a lot of Christians, they've learned to abase and they demand abasing of preachers all the time. But it's ungodly. There is abasing and there is what? Abounding. Let's get that one clear. All right? However, having said that, we have to be careful that we don't abound so much, we don't know how to abase anymore. Which is a problem that came when young boys went into prosperity message without having good understanding and good foundation. It's a prayer I prayed. Say, God, let it not get to it. Because I've seen preachers, the way they are handled. There was a particular man I was where they were trying to, you know, get him to come to a town once. After a while, one of the young men that was organized said, please, God, let him not come. I don't know what I heard what I said. When I was asking the guy, I said, is this guy coming for this program? He said, who? I mentioned the name. They are big bishop. He said, no, I don't want him to come. I said, why? He said, when he comes, it's a headache for me. Some of the big preachers we see here, they are coming to town. It's trouble for every local assembly. Trouble, unnecessary trouble. I don't mean there's trouble that you can't help it. Do you understand? Uh-huh. That is like maybe it's a big man and many people want to see him. So you have to organize some security, you know, stuff like that. This is just unnecessary trouble. Say, oh, every time our senior pastor comes to town, his honorarium is 2 million naira. And he's coming to a church where they don't get that in a whole month in offerings. What is, and this is a branch of his own church. Oh. We have to learn how to abase. The other day, went to preach at our host minister said, where will you stay? I said, where are you staying? This man is senior to me in age. He has worked for longer than me. He's an educated man, an engineer. He also pastors a church and does his business on the side. I said, sir, where are you staying? He said, that camp where we are coming to preach. I said, that place, we will stay there. Oh, it's not a five-star experience. But he's staying there. You have to learn how to what? Abase. You know, we initially we learned how to abase. We learned how to abound. Then we now stuck with abound. Because abounding is sweeter. True, true. No. I've been to hotels where everything works perfectly. There's white towel for your feet at the base of your bed. There's big white towel in the bathroom. The AC is ping, ping, ping. Sometimes they've even put me in suites before. Now, preach, I can't preach. And I don't know anybody there, yet I have a sitting room. Yes. Then I've been to hotel where to base. I'll come and say, Olayinka, I bet we need bowl. We need bowl. Ask them when they send bowl. Ask me, now. That's why he follows me everywhere because I said, Olayinka, your room get bowl? He said, yes. God, lend me your bowl. I will collect it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? No, I don't care. The only time I used to ask people, say, please, oh, I hope light is constant. When they say, yeah, we'll have light, yes, it's good, till 12 midnight. I say, no problem. So I go around with my techno touch. I don't like dark places at night. If I don't come with my touch, I put on my tab. use it for light. But no, I won't complain. Because I prayed a prayer. I said, God, please, let it not get to a point where I cannot go to bless people because they can't afford my coming. Ah, I fear that thing. So I went with the other day. They said that, okay, business class. I said, can I call them? Say, I don't fly business class for 1 hour flight. It's a waste of your money. Going from here to Lagos, you want to put me on business class? I'm sorry. I'm not saying it's bad, though. That's just bad. In fact, when they tell Yinka that it's business class, that normally fly their guest ministers, and they have to, I said, Yinka, tell them, I don't want. He said, I wanted to tell them, but I said, let me just ask you first. It's a 1 hour flight. The price is double. I said, spare yourselves that money. I can sit at the back. I mean, it's a plane. I mean, you know, all of us fly together, God forbid, and die together if we have to crash. Whether you're in first class, there's no special thing for the pilot. If you're talking about you with the passenger. So I told the people, say, listen, let's get this thing clear. I know you want to honor me. I appreciate it. But I've thought about, I've been on these planes many times. Forget it. There's nothing. If it was a 10-hour flight, it's different. Because believe me, there is a difference between sitting down for 10 hours and lying down for 10 hours. God is more in one than the other. Honestly. Well, not literally. No, God is everywhere, amen. But you will feel his goodness more. Okay, God needs to use less grace to make you happy. One day my wife and I were coming back. The flight was from Atlanta to Lagos. Father, about 2 hours before we reached Lagos, the greatest desire, I could almost sell my birthright at that time for a morsel of sleep. what's his name? Esau. Sold his birthright for a morsel of hunger. And I'm not going to sell my bed, I'm just joking. But then, the greatest intense desire, I told my wife, when I have the money, I'm going up front. But that's a 10-hour flight, 11 hours. I did Atlanta to Lagos, like 11 and a half hours. It's quite a long flight, all right? But 1 hour, I said to Yinka, no, tell them not to bother. That means there, you have to learn how to obey. I'm not competing with anybody. Do you understand? Now, why I'm explaining that is that, you see, I was explaining earlier that I realized you have to be careful that it doesn't get to a point that you allow God to fully manifest himself. That many people have decided that because they will be more comfortable in a particular way, there are many ministries that have not manifested today simply because somebody has gone to look for what is comfortable. All right, instead of moving around, moving up and down, he wants a base, a resource base. Many pastors have started churches because, that's the only thing many people understand as ministry. You are pastoring a church. Pastoring the church is very good, very important, but it's not the only thing. Now, those days, when Kenneth Hagin began ministry, when you move around, okay, now this was how I began to talk about why you have to learn to obey. Sometimes there are preachers who won't go to places because you go around, the congregation is not big, they don't look like they have a lot of money, and they feel like these guys can't treat me very well. Ken Hagin said for a very long time, and you must understand that Ken Hagin preached for more than 60 years, all right? In modern days, I don't know anybody else that has blessed that number of people in the church like Ken Hagin. Now, there are people who minister to the world, evangelists. You hear of Billy Graham and all of that. But Billy Graham really didn't build anybody up in the faith. Not because he's not a good man, but because that was not his calling. Or just to pull them in. But when you're talking about building people up in the faith, making them understand God, getting into the will of God for their lives, and then teaching in another generation. I don't know anybody. Maybe that's the one I know. But I don't know anybody in modern times that has done as much as Kennedy Hagin. I don't know any. Kennedy Hagin bested people that their job is to best other people, and those ones are besting other people. Well, some of the powerful names you hear in Nigeria, all right? They were built. I mean, I was University of Benin when those guys were flying out all over the place. One of the things that made, in fact, like if those of you went for WAFBEC, was it in February? You see that Pastor Paul, you mentioned that University of Benin, that Benin was strategic in what God did in Nigeria. Because Archbishop Benson, that was an influence of people like him, they brought some things into Nigeria. And because he was based in Benin, from there, the things began to spread. University of Benin birthed all kinds of ministries. Those of you in WAFBEC, two or three of the ministers that came to Wafbeck came from Uniben, that they were students in Uniben at that time. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain here. All right? Pastor Efiobuki, what is his name? Kola Owosho. I think it's Sri Yerifo. Those guys, they came from University of Benin.